next project that we were going to talk about, it's actually a pretty interesting one. The name of it is actually Proteus. I actually had to write out. So that's Prototype Testing Environment for Situational Awareness. This was also a DARPA-funded project, and this was sort of like a big video game scenario set up in our lab, and it was testing how human machines interface. And the goal of it is to test your situational awareness under some cognitive testing, kind of throwing out there, like if you're flying a UAV, which is an unmanned aerial vehicle, how could you maintain your situational awareness to get from waypoint to waypoint, asking questions about fuel, where have you been, and other things, and kind of keeping you on track.
This is Meredith Yeager, who is a senior research associate at the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition, IHMC. There was a chamber military luncheon recently, and the first portion of it was with, Village, Terry Shashady, the commanding officer at NAS Pensacola, Captain Shashady, talking about base stuff, base access, and the upcoming air show, which, of course, you know, starts tomorrow. But the second part of the military luncheon was a very interesting series of kind of just updates, presentations, descriptions of some of the projects that the folks at IHMC are working on that have to do with the military. And as you heard there, Meredith Yeager, who, by the way, you know what her call sign is? She's a former aviator, an aviator, call sign Yeager. call sign Chuck. She's Yeager, call sign Chuck. Perfect. That seems about right. Anyway, talking about this, what they're working on, the issues with situational awareness and facilitating, unmanned aerial vehicles. And by the way, I don't know the exact dimensions of everything they're doing for DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. They're like the, remember in the 007 movies, Q is always inventing the new cool stuff, to the gadgets to show James Bond. DARPA is Q, okay? And, they don't necessarily get out in the public an awful lot, but they do a lot of stuff, and, a lot of innovation comes from them. And, of course, IHMC works on a lot of their projects. And what I think part of this is in the future, I had been previously concerned, and you've heard me ask some of the leadership in the Navy about this before, if you listen to the show for a long time, what is the future of manned aviation for the Navy, since we are, that's kind of an important thing to us here in Pensacola and Milton, and what is the future of the need for humans inside of the aerial platforms? And, because it always seemed to me like we were moving away from manned presence into unmanned and remote operated, or maybe even, autonomous potentially. And so what would that mean for aircraft carriers and F-18s and, F-35s and all this? Well, now it seems to me like the future is more, it's not replacing piloted planes, it's amplifying pilots with a swarm. I may get some of this wrong. I'm not on the inside, but some of the stuff that I've read, it seems to indicate that the future is not a reduction in force, like a transfer to the robots, but an amplification of humans with, remote operated and autonomous. And, I don't know the specifics, but, you might have a bomber pilot who's controlling 7 planes at a time, that kind of thing, potentially. And figuring out the interface for all that is, laying the groundwork for that kind of possibility in the future.
We tested 24 participants with this, and hopefully the results of this will lead to improved human-machine interfaces that can allow our warfighters and pilots.
I want to add one thing to that. Yeah. So the loyal wingman concept. So now a fighter pilot's no longer just flying their fighter jet. They've got 12 UAVs that they also have to account for. And so what she's describing is, how in the world are we going to do that, right? Those of us around aviation probably think, well, that's more of an AWACS mission. But, they want to try to do it with one person.
AWACS is the big E2 with the disc on top that's controlling the battle space from above and semi-remotely, just so you don't know, if you don't know the acronym.
Sorry. That's all I had to say. I just wanted to bring that around to Proteus. To kind of give a little insight into why, so with these human-machine interfaces, how can we best design them so that you can accommodate all of that mental workload and not make a mistake?
That's Jeff Phillips. He's a senior research scientist at IHMC, was there to help, just explain his stuff. And then the last thing here is, again, just that concept of what they're working on, what Meredith Yeager is working on with the interface, situational awareness, operation of potentially a swarm of vehicles, not just your own vehicle.
So, for example, the scenario I described to you with Proteus, the Air Force's loyal wingman concept is is literally a fighter pilot will be responsible not only for their own craft, but for several unmanned aerial vehicles. And so, you know, that's a far-reaching concept. And so how do we manage that? Can we develop an interface that will allow one individual to do that? And that's the kind of thing that DARPA will fund.
Absolutely. And the job is going to get more challenging, right? Definitely going to get more challenging. A couple more thoughts on this. Some really interesting stuff that they're working on. We'll come back to it in a second. 716 News Radio 92.3, Jake's got traffic for us.
NAS Pensacola traffic is backed up all the way to Gulf Beach Highway. Also, Pace at Berry Hill and West Spencerfield. That intersection has a traffic light out, so it's really slowing things down in that area. This traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping is big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. 250-3756 for Executive Landscaping. If you have traffic info to report, you can text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to get good information, good advice, somebody who knows the market and understands your needs and will take the time to make sure and get you those needs met and will get you the best price, buying or selling. That's kind of how they work. Just, you know, amazing at this process, particularly from the selling side. Like 230 homes sold last year, many homes sold same day, a day or two, many homes even today sold at or above list price. That's a very common experience for them because they really genuinely know how to do this. They've got it worked out like it's a science to know when do you list, how do you stage, where do you list, put photos, what price do you ask for, all of this stuff. It's it's impressive what they can do for you. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158. Back to the conversation being had by the research scientists at IHMC last week at the chamber luncheon on military matters. And this is a question that I've had, too. It's been hard to meet recruiting goals for most of the services. And one of the concerns is, well, do we even need to have some of the same physical standards anymore? Because that's been one of the reasons, is Americans are fat. Okay? I mean, that's just true. Americans are fat. They're out of shape. Sometimes it's even the sort of the academic test they have trouble passing. And so it's often considered, do we loosen the standards in order to get our numbers, right? And they even have, like, some of the services have, like, remedial. You can't get in normally, but we'll put you through the preparation camp like it's the pre-boot camp. It's the, it's the booties camp, to get you ready for it. And then we get you, up to snuff so that you can actually go through boot camp proper. But the question is, do we need those physical standards anymore? And with all of this emphasis on unmanned, remote operated, even autonomous potentially, Rear Admiral Victor Hall was the one who was kind of running the show and was asking the question of Andy Bellina, who's another one of the IHMC senior research associates. Do you have to keep emphasizing this? What are you thinking about there?
With the increased development and application of autonomous systems, do you predict a decline in human performance-focused research for the DoD?
I'm actually going to take this one because the Air Force just put out a statement saying the exact opposite, which is great. They're going away from the physical, the readiness test paradigm. I think actually the Guardians are starting this before the Guardians are kind of like the Marines in the Navy, though. There's probably going to be contention, but they're in the same bifurcation. So the Air Force is really pushing to use wearables and other ways to test physical performance constantly, as opposed to once a year or once every 6 months you do a test. So I think the exact opposite is happening, thank goodness. I think we're actually starting to focus more on human performance and human health span, especially in the DoD.
Because all of the time and money you put into creating warfighters, you want to make sure that you maintain them in optimal health, get them proper rest, proper nutrition, recognize signs of stress, fatigue, potential injuries, that might TBI, all that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, this is a whole field that, and IHMC is involved in kind of every part of that. They're working on all of that stuff. And it may not be, as you heard him say there, the sort of entrance exams as much as the maintenance process. And instead of once a year having to pass a series of push-ups and pull-ups and all that and do a run, they might be using ongoing biometric evaluation. Like, if you've seen the Welcome to Wrexham, the show about the football club that Ryan Reynolds owns, and the guys are always wearing these black bras underneath their jerseys. It looks kind of weird when you first see men wearing bras, even these days. That's what they are. They're like, that's monitoring them and, figuring out what's going on in their bodies. Well, that kind of stuff is stuff that the military is looking into as well.
And even talking exoskeletons, I wish Gwen was here to describe that. In her evening, Gwen Bryant actually talked about this, where she said, hey, we don't want our exoskeletons to make people weaker, so we're actually thinking about when they're using the exo devices, how do we keep their muscles and bones strong as well? So that's a major factor in what we're doing here, and I think that that's the largest growth area that I see locally specifically.
Yeah, we're all eager to get these sort of amplified physical capability devices, exoskeletons, to do all kinds of wild stuff, but if the exoskeleton can do it, then you start to atrophy like Wally. You know, you don't need to be strong anymore, and you don't want to have that be the result. I mean, look, bumping around and physically acting and moving things and lifting things and, you know, carrying weapons and all the stuff that folks in the military do on a regular basis keeps you strong, tough, right, and able to do. And if instead you have amplified physical capabilities through robotics, all of a sudden the, you know, there's deliberate cardiovascular or physical training that goes on when you run, you lift weights and do that kind of stuff. But there's also the ongoing, just the work of being in the military, and if you take that away because it's amplified, or you replace that and you train on amplified all the time, then all of a sudden you have health impacts, and maybe that makes you not just physically less strong, but also maybe it makes you, you know, your heart less strong. Maybe you have less resilience to stress, or less, you know, you need more rest because of it. So just all of this stuff that they're working on right here in Pensacola, you know, and I'll just give you one more, just because I find it so fascinating. It's like the great untold story, even though we tell it periodically. The stuff that's going on at IHMC, and they're just building a whole new building, right, is amazing. This is Jeff Phillips. You heard his voice a minute ago. They're working on gloves that operators in cold weather won't want to take off, because right now, you know, the problem is they don't like the gloves they've got, so they take them off, and then they lose fingers to frostbite. You got to solve that problem. How do you solve it?
Another project that I'm working on right now is that on the Air Force side, they were having trouble with their cold weather gloves. Like I said, just little things that'll make life, you know, easier. And so they were cutting the fingers out of their cold weather gloves, or they just weren't wearing them. And on a couple of occasions, we had some operators who lost their fingers because they had to bail out in Alaska in the wintertime. And so we're trying to develop gloves that we can use to restore the tactile or haptic connection with the world while you're wearing gloves. So we have these little devices that we've engineered called tactile nodes, tactile columns, that we can use to give you more of that sensation of what you're touching around you. And this is aimed at helping operators, you know, sort of with controlled surfaces while they're flying. And we're also going to have a variation for cold weather gloves for SOCOM, you know, that will even implement, you know, trying to facilitate taking your firearm apart, putting it back together with warm, cold weather gloves.
You ever try to operate your cell phone with gloves on?
Oh, yeah. I did this morning.
It's the worst. The worst, right? It's terrible. So they're creating gloves that will keep your fingers warm and your hands warm, that have a physical, this is not electronic, this is a physical connection between what you're touching and what you feel on the inside, that make it feel like you're not wearing gloves so that you keep them on and don't lose your fingers to frostbite. Try to imagine a glove you'd feel so comfortable wearing as if it were your fingers that you'd feel comfortable disassembling and reassembling a firearm with it.
Right.
That's unbelievable stuff. And then think of the applications of that in the civilian world as well, because a lot of times military research leads to civilian products too. So just, you know, like I said, fascinating stuff that they're working on at IHMC, and I appreciate the presentations that Jeff Phillips, Meredith Yeager, and Andy Bellina gave to us last week. 724 News Radio 92.3, actually almost 725. Let's go ahead and give traffic before we get to the break. Traffic on the fives with Jake.
NAS Pensacola is backed up to Gulf Beach Highway. Also, we're looking at 98 westbound in Tiger Point. The construction traffic is already starting to back up at Garcon Point, Avalon Boulevard there. This traffic report is brought to you by Pensacola Habitat for Humanity. Join Pensacola Habitat for Humanity and Florida Power and Light at their weatherization open house today from 1 to 6. You can check out their Facebook page for more details. If you have traffic info to report, you can text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. For almost a decade, I've been telling you about my friends at Frontier Motors in Pensacola. The biggest reason is they help my listeners save thousands of dollars when purchasing a slightly used car over a brand new one. Consumer Reports says the average new car depreciates a whopping $9,200 in the first year alone. That's crazy. So if you're thinking new, don't. Go see Frontier Motors and see how much they can save you on a current year car with very low miles. And if your goal is to get out of debt, bring Frontier Motors your car and they can write you a check on the spot. Frontier Motors can also do consignments and they don't charge a fee or a commission. Frontier Motors have been helping the people in the Pensacola area for 21 years. They are the go-to dealer for free advice when it comes to buying or selling a car. Please go see my friends at Frontier Motors. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey sent you.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Quiggins. If you've got fall gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Presented by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, Barnes Feed Store, and Lucky's Pine Straw.
As a part of the 10th anniversary of Foo Foo Fest, the Pensacola Civic Band is proud to present On Broadway, an unforgettable concert experience featuring Broadway star Megan Hilty. Known for her extraordinary performances in acclaimed Broadway productions like Wicked and Smash, on November 11th at the Sanger Theater. Plus, there will be a free Q&A with Megan Hilty on November 10th at 3 p.m. at the Gene and Paul Amos Performance Studio at WSRE. Get your tickets now at the Sanger box office or online at PensacolaCivicBand.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola right now, it's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You can fool around with whoever you want to, just not at Treble.
That's not going to be easy. He's a hunter.
You call it a dude?
Nah, 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 come on!
Two out. Here's an 0-1 to Simeon.
In the air to left center field. Gurriel's back. It is gone! Texas on the verge!
That was the home run by Marcus Simeon with man on third and two out in the top of the ninth inning. There was a tense ball game yesterday as it was no score until the seventh inning. In fact, the Diamondbacks had a no-hitter going. And, that did not last. So the Rangers got one, then they got two more, then they got two more, and that was the game. 5-0. Marte strikes out on a curve looking after he took another pitch that he probably shouldn't have taken either, and that was the end of it. The Rangers win their first ever World Series. Congratulations to Texas. What, 63 years as a franchise? Took them 45 to get into the postseason, I think that's right, and then 50 to get into the World Series, and then 63 to actually get a win. So congratulations to all you Rangers fans out there. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A vote to expel Congressman George Santos from the House failed on Wednesday. He's charged with nearly two dozen federal charges, including stealing people's identities. The FDA is recalling more eye drops. Yesterday, the Ohio-headquartered pharmaceutical company Cardinal Health announced they're recalling rugby brand eye drops after reports of burning eyes and blurry vision. There's new poll out showing economic fears may cause a slowdown in holiday shopping this year.
Okay, because people are concerned about the future and say they don't want to squander their money just as freely as they normally would during the Christmas days.
Yeah, I guess it was about 50-50 with more people saying they were cutting holiday spending than saying they were spending the same or more.
So. Interesting. Meanwhile, radio stations have already started converting to Christmas music.
Absolutely.
Day after Halloween. That's the new standard. We're a month ahead of time, people.
Fox
News. I'm CJ Papa. Israel Defense Forces inching closer to the area around Gaza City, but the fighting is fierce.
The Israelis have had a lot of trouble with the Al-Qassam Brigades, Hamas's military wing, popping out of tunnels and firing anti-tank guided missiles and RPGs at their forces. They've also been throwing grenades and engaging those troops in small arms fire.
Fox's Trey Inks in southern Israel, and Trey just reporting as well, a woman from Utah and her son who didn't get out of Gaza yesterday made it to Egypt today using the Rafah crossing. The Biden administration says some 400 people are still stranded in Gaza. Jury deliberations in the trial disgrace former crypto honcho Sam Bankman-Fried could begin today. In a New York City courtroom, his defense team described him as a simple math nerd, no intent to defraud investors. While prosecutors said he built his FTX crypto exchange in a pyramid of deceit in their closing arguments. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is a cold morning, 38 degrees right now in Pensacola. Well, those that are living at the homeless camp over at Jones Swamp this week were not evicted.
The owner came out yesterday and took all the papers down that they put up for us being evicted today and said that we didn't have to go nowhere. If it ain't him saying we have to leave, don't listen to nobody.
And that resident there talked with Channel 3 this week, and those notices were put up earlier this week saying that the residents had to be off the property by yesterday. No reason has been given by the Area Housing Commission for that change in policy. A Crestview police officer was hurt in a three-vehicle crash as he was responding to a call yesterday. That happened on State Road 85 at Griffith Avenue. FHP says the officer rear-ended another vehicle at a congested intersection as he was responding to a call. That vehicle then hit a third vehicle. The officer sustained minor injuries. Nobody else was hurt in that crash. Well, UWF is teaming up with Leidos, a Fortune 500 science and technology company. They've launched the Leidos Cybersecurity Infrastructure Lab, which will provide students with hands-on cybersecurity education in realistic digital environments. This new lab includes a cloud-based enterprise platform that's modeled to represent an unclassified government enterprise platform. The students will receive more hands-on experience in the areas of digital modernization, updated data processing, modeling, and simulation. The latest spat between Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill is figuring out just how to provide aid to Israel. Despite opposition from Democrats and some Republicans, Congressman Matt Gaetz says he stands behind the standalone $14 billion aid package for Ukraine, or for Israel, that does not include Ukraine. That money would come out of the IRS budget.
The IRS used to have a $12 billion budget. That swelled to an $80 billion budget as a consequence of the Inflation Reduction Act. And so this would peel back $14 billion of that and I think let our people off the mat when it comes to excessive government weaponization. And that is exactly what these IRS agents would be intended to do.
And Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says it's not even worth a House vote, as he says it would be dead on arrival in the Senate. A Miami woman is, not just visiting at the jail anymore. Authorities say 52-year-old Maria Maceo was caught trying to smuggle drugs into the Century Prison this week. Investigators say Maceo was visiting an inmate when she attempted to give him two packages she'd pulled from her pants. A corrections officer caught her in the act, reportedly, and those packages fell to the floor. Those packages containing marijuana and cocaine. Investigators say the woman was visiting using an alias, as she also had a warrant out of Miami. Maceo now charged with smuggling contraband into a prison, trafficking cocaine, and resisting arrest. She's now being held on $55,000 bond at the Escambia County Jail. Republican senators tried to confirm more than 60 military officers' promotions Wednesday in a direct challenge to Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville's blockade on promotions, but he didn't budge. Tuberville's been blocking military promotions since February in a move to force the Pentagon to overturn its policy of paying travel costs for military members and dependents seeking abortions. Republican Senators Dan Sullivan of Alaska, Joni Ernst of Iowa, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Todd Young of Indiana, and Mitt Romney of Utah requested votes on each senior officer by unanimous consent over hours, but Tuberville blocked each of those requests. It's 7:35 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our traffic on the 5s. Jake, what are you seeing?
NAS Pensacola traffic is backed up to Gulf Beach Highway, also 98 westbound in Tiger Point. The construction traffic has things backing up pretty badly this morning, starting at Garcon Point and stretching back. I-10 eastbound, starting just before Pine Forest near the Cracker Barrel. It's a slow roll all the way down to Pensacola Boulevard. If you have any traffic info to report, text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We do have a beautiful sunny day in store today with chilly temperatures, 67 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures in the 40s. As you go into Friday, starting to warm up, mostly sunny skies, high near 73. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 55 degrees. Getting into the mid-70s as we go into Saturday, 75 degrees with mostly sunny skies. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is sunny, but very chilly and cold right now. It's 38 degrees in Pensacola, 42 in Gulf Breeze, and 36 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and 22 other Democratic senators have sent a letter to the Federal Trade Commission asking the regulator to investigate record-breaking deals by Chevron and ExxonMobil over concerns about the impact on competition in the energy sector. They say Exxon's proposed acquisition of Pioneer Natural Resources for $60 billion and Chevron's proposed purchase of Hess Corporation for $53 billion are likely to harm competition, increase prices for consumers, reduce output, and harm smaller oil companies. Panera is trimming its corporate headcount. The Wall Street Journal says the company plans to lay off 17% of its corporate workforce, resulting in about 300 job losses. The layoffs come about 5 months after Panera Brands revealed it was gearing up for an eventual initial public offering and doing some leadership shuffling. Panera is under the same ownership as Caribou Coffee and Einstein Brothers Bagels. That's Your Money Now.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is Tort Talk with personal injury lawyer Terrence A. Gross.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Floridians can stack uninsured motorist coverage? If you have three vehicles with $25,000 stacking you in, that equates to $75,000 in total coverage. Therefore, always choose stacking coverage if you have more than one vehicle in your household.
Tort Talk is brought to you by Terrence A. Gross. Call 434-3333 or check him out at grossandschuster.com.
What is News Radio 92.3? News and information for Pensacola. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, 5 till 9. The Pensacola Expert Panel or Pep Talk from 9 to 11. Markley, Van Camp and Robbins, 11 until 2. Guy Benson from 2 to 4. Pensacola Right Now from 4 to 7. Dave Ramsey from 7 to 10. WEAR-TV at 10. And Brian Kilmeade overnight at 11. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay at 7:39, and Chief Eric Randall, the Pensacola Police Chief for the last couple of years, is joining us now by phone. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, and thank you for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here, Andrew.
Always good to have you. A couple of big news stories involving what you guys are doing, and none of them are crimes. There's not bad news this week. It's been relatively, ordinary. I won't say the Q word, but it's been no major incidents, and I always appreciate that.
Don't ever say the word, and I need to knock on some wood. So.
No, it's all good. It's all good. So obviously the two big stories of the week were number one, DC Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, announced the red light camera initiative, which he'd been previewing previously. But man, I was looking at some of this the red light running data and the crash data. And this, to me, seems like the sort of no-brainer that I know Tommy Leiter worked on for a long time, but it's sort of no-brainer. Like, man, thank God, finally, it can't happen fast enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, Andrew, I'll tell you, when you really start looking at data, the data tells a story. And I just took a snapshot the other day and looked at, you know, last 5 years for crash data from 2018 up to just 2022, because we're not finished with 2023 yet. And that was like 15,000 traffic crashes in the city, just in the city of Pensacola.
Man.
And you got to imagine, you know, each one of those crashes requires an officer. We spent about 5,000 hours, and that's just calculating one officer and working, you know, 1 year crashes. And once it was in 2022, the year we looked at for that. But like I was talking about the other day, most of our crashes are on, you know, the major arteries and a thoroughfare where it requires traffic control. So there's multiple officers that respond to these incidents. But also think about the property damage, the personal injury, and things of that nature that comes along with this. And then the increased insurance rates because of these crashes and things of that nature.
Yeah, I agree completely. If you can get people to not run red lights, then you will get people to not cause crashes. And if you can get people to not cause crashes, then you save lives, you save, you know, health impact from people who are not killed but injured, medical bills. Presumably, you're right, insurance rates could theoretically go down and damage to cars and other things. I mean, and also, you will free up an awful lot of time for Pensacola police officers to be responding to calls for service instead of having to handle these traffic incidents and the traffic congestion that is caused by these instances. It's sort of an all-of-the-above benefits. I found it very starkly surprising not to look so much at the red light running data, although surely that is very, like, what are you people doing on Fairfield? Like, do you know there's lights on Fairfield? But I looked at the crash map that showed where you have the highest concentration historically of crashes, and it's really two places. It's clustered around Airport and Brent on 9th Avenue. That's one bright red spot on the map. And then downtown, and there's kind of a zone of effects here, but around Palafox, Garden, up to Cervantes, over to, like, you know, 9th Avenue, even over as far as 17th. Gregory and Chase are clearly problematic areas, which I know anybody who drives there, you would agree that that's probably a problematic area. But the highest number of red light runnings is the westbound on Gregory going to 110 across 9th Avenue. If we could just get those two areas under control, major change to people's quality of life, right?
Yeah, major change to people's quality of life. And like I said, we're still, you know, evaluating all the approaches and intersections and looking at the data. And just give you a little snapshot of something, you know, this is just crashes at intersections. And I'm just, like I said, I got about 9 years worth of data, but I'm going to tell you just 5 years worth of data. Ninth and Bayou, 260 crashes at their intersection. Davidson Fairfield, 265. Ninth and Airport, 235. But then you talked about Ninth and Gregory down there, 119. And that's just in five years at the intersection.
Yeah.
That doesn't account things that may have happened, mid block and things of that nature. But that's just at the intersection. I mean, that is a lot of lives that are impacted. Not only those that are involved in the crash, but those that witnessed the crash and those that may be impacted by the crash itself because of the traffic impact and rerouting and things of that nature. So, I mean, there's a lot to this.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I was very surprised by the Fairfield numbers that all the lights at Fairfield, apparently nobody can see the traffic lights on Fairfield, that they go straight through those all the time. That's wild to me. Looking at the program itself, and we talked about this a bunch with the mayor yesterday, but one of the follow-up questions that I had from people, and I know what I think the answer is, but I want to make sure I get it from you. If somebody borrows my car, you know, and puts on a Halloween mask, you know, and runs a red light, who's getting that ticket? How does that work?
Man, you added a lot to that scenario, Andrew. so there in the process, there'll be a affidavit where people can file and say, hey, such and such was using my car on such and such date and time, and then it will be transferred over to that particular person, because if you're not operating the vehicle and you let somebody else use it, I mean, that's the responsibility of the person that was using it. But it would be a sworn affidavit. Now, if you swear on an affidavit, you provide false information, and it's found that it's false information, that could be a second-degree misdemeanor, too.
I gotcha.
So, you got to always tell the truth, be honest about it. So don't be just trying to provide false information to get out of the...
Trying to get out of it. So I had thought, and I think I said it on the air yesterday, that you typically will get a photo of not just the license plate front and back, but also, or at least back, and you'll also get a photo of the car across the red line, that there's video basically from which they draw this information to make sure that you got all the pieces together. I was under the impression that there would also be a snapshot of the driver, so you'd be able to say, well, that was not your wife, sir. You know, that kind of stuff. Is that true?
It depends on how the camera's positioned and things of that nature. But yeah, there's a lot of photographic and video evidence that comes with that.
Okay.
And you know, these programs, the individual, the citizen, has the ability to go in and look at that for themselves as well. So it's not like anything is, you know.
So they can review it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. We're talking to Chief Eric Randall, Pensacola Police Chief Eric Randall. Chief, hang on for just a second. Let's get Jake in here with traffic on the fives.
Okay, we're starting to see some slowdowns starting this morning. NAS Pensacola is still backed up to Gulf Beach Highway. Also, 98 westbound in Tiger Point. Construction traffic is backing up at Garcon Point. I-10 eastbound starting just before Pine Forest near the Cracker Barrel is slow all the way down to Pensacola Boulevard. From the text hotline, we've got Davis Highway southbound at Johnson Avenue. There's a disabled vehicle starting to cause congestion. And also North Davis Highway, exit 13 from I-10 westbound. Traffic light is malfunctioning at the end of that exit ramp, so please use caution. If you have traffic info to report, you can text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Chief Eric Randall talking about the red light program that Pensacola is getting ready to put into place. One of the questions that I just had was, obviously Gulf Breeze has been using this for years. I assume that you guys did this in consultation with Chief Hawthorne, got lessons and notes from them, as well as, you know, studied some other municipalities around either the area or maybe out of the area. I don't know if where you come from originally, if they do it there, you know, where you come from intermediate. But I assume those kind of talks went on to, you know, because you learn stuff by doing it. You learn what not to do, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've had plenty of conversations with the staff over in Guthrie and other entities. State and where I came from in Virginia, we had the red light cameras there too. So, we've been in heavy talks with our partners here locally and then around the state in reference to those that already have the programs and just trying to learn a lot from them as well.
The projected reduction in red light running, the 60%, just because you put the signs up, or 65, I forget which way it is, but then the follow-on 60 to 65% drop, in total something like an 80% drop overall, immediate and then subsequent. Is that kind of the nationwide average? Is that what we're seeing typically?
Yeah, that's from studies that's been done on the nationwide average of nationally what they're seeing from these programs, the institution of these programs and things of that nature.
Very good. Okay. And I'm looking, I mean, I hope it works. I hope the mayor is right. I hope it's such a low revenue generator for the company that we have to actually pay them to maintain a much safer environment for us. That would be a fine expense in my opinion. The other thing that you guys announced this week, again, I think a very big development is the Northern substation on Pensacola State campus, which is not a public substation like you think of the sheriff's office on W Street or something like that. But it is a place for your officers to drop off body cam, do reports, take a break, and not have to go all the way downtown to Haines Street, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is our ability to be able to start decentralizing policing services. And our first start at it, this phase, is to open this substation up on Pensacola State College in the north end of the city to be more effective in delivering police services to our citizens in the north end of the city.
And the way I was kind of talking about this the other day, you correct me if I'm wrong, is if you can eliminate 20% drive time from the typical officer shift, and I don't, maybe the number's higher than that, from somebody who's working in the northern portion of the city, and they don't have to go down all the way to the main office and back up a couple times a day, that's in effect like hiring 20% more officers, because you've amplified the time on the, you know, time on beat by 20%, right?
Yeah. So we try to give the officers 40% time each hour to beat. And like I said, this is kind of national standard. You know, you want to try to get 40% of the officers' time to be proactive. Proactive policing is, you know, visibility, high visibility, shopping centers and neighborhoods and communities, foot patrols, doing other community policing things, items like that. So when you factor in, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes, however it is to go to one way, to go completely outside of your district to handle paperwork and other miscellaneous administrative things. I mean, just think if something happens, you have to take a simple call or a major call. You have to go back, you know, traverse the other end to the other end of the city. And depending on traffic conditions, weather conditions, things of that nature, it hampers public safety. And our residents in the north end of the city deserve a north end substation. And we're big enough now. I mean, Pensacola continues to grow. We got a lot of great things going on in the city. And that's one of the things about a city that's growing and thriving. You know, we got to look at new ways of doing stuff.
No, I'm a supporter. I think it's a great plan. I love that it's happening. Last thing, you guys are going to be involved at the homecoming air show at NAS Pensacola this weekend?
Yes, sir. We'll be out there. We'll be out there live and in color. We'll be out there with the Blue Angels Tahoe. We'll have a booth set up, spreading good cheer. And those want to come out and, you know, see the Blue Angels Tahoe, take some photos with it, photos with the officers, get to meet some of Pensacola's finest. Come on out. I think it's a great time. It's always a great weekend at Homecoming Air Show. I'll be out there myself on Saturday. So I hope to see all our residents.
Are we going to see a drag race between the Tahoe and the Escambia County Sheriff's Office Corvette?
I don't think so. Not this weekend, Andrew.
Well, a boy can dream. Chief Eric Randall, Chief of Police. What's that?
I said, it ain't how you start, it's how you finish. I always say that.
And how much gear you can take with you. I mean, you know, let's be honest. A Corvette's not the most police tactical equipment friendly. So, Chief Eric Randall, Pensacola Police Chief, sir, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for helping keep our community safe, sir. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for everything you do for the community as well, and thank you for all this great Pensacola community as well. Thank you.
Absolutely. 752 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have employees, you have benefits. If you have employees, you have HR. If you have employees, you have payroll. And guess what? If you love dealing with that stuff, great. Great. If you got into business to do, you know, HVAC or, you know, I don't know, pipe or auto repair or whatever, IT stuff, whatever the case may be, and you also love managing HR, then great. You're weird. You're one of a kind. But if you don't love that stuff, or you're maybe not good at it, or you just want somebody else to help you take it off your plate, call Torgas and Causey. They've been doing this for more than 20 years. I think it's actually more like 25 years now. Locally owned employee benefits agency. We use them here at News Radio and Cat Country for about 6 years, and they've been great. They gave us choices we didn't have before. They gave us customer service that I didn't know you could have before. You know, really kind of amazing. And they're just excellent at this. No obligation to look at what you're doing and see if there's a way to do it better for your employees, which, of course, is what you want to do. You want it to be less expensive for you and them, and you want it to be better for them at the same time, right? Torgerson Causey, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for $10? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at GulfCoastAirCare.com or call 934-2768.
Jeep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Got it.
Goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep downfield! Punch! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone! Picked off!
Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy.
and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings 9 till 11 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I feel the need for speed. Ow!
I had a listener suggesting, I'm like, oh, that's perfect, paired with the Top Gun, right? You don't have to put on the red light camera. 7:57 on News Radio 92.3. Let's see. Jake's got traffic for us. Jake?
If you're leaving Pace on Highway 90, there's some slowdown starting before the Bay Bridge all the way up to the light there at the Starbucks. NAS Pensacola is backed up to Gulf Beach Highway, also 98 westbound in Tiger Point. We've got the construction traffic backing up this morning. Also, I-10 eastbound starting just before Pine Forest. It's a slow roll all the way down to Pensacola Boulevard. And from the text hotline, we got information on Davis Highway southbound at Johnson Avenue. There's a disabled vehicle there starting to cause congestion. If you have traffic info to report, you can text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. A little note about that song. If you notice, in the when you know you're hearing just dent dent, and then you hear like a really weird organ note, and then you hear him laugh. When he was doing the vocal track in the studio, a lot of the times they had to share rooms, so there was an organ sitting right behind him where the microphone was set up. So he leaned back and accidentally sat on the keys and made that noise.
Stop
and he
it.
Laughed over the vocal mic, and they kept it in.
No,
so, yeah, that's genuine.
Okay, I gotta hear it again.
Yeah.
So, oh, I just deleted it from my playlist. Hold on, just a second, cause I gotta. That's crazy.
Yeah, he just leaned back and sat on the keys, and
so
it made
this
that.
So this is an error
yeah,
copy.
Yeah, yeah. You'll hear it right here. And then he laughs. And then they just left it in on the vocal track.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for telling me. That's the stuff that professional musicians know that none of the rest of us ever heard of. That's fantastic. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Legendary college basketball coach Bobby Knight has died at 83. Indiana University confirmed that news yesterday. Of course, Knight had a really good record. He won 3 national titles, won over 900 games over his career.
And a master of, diplomacy and civility and never saying the wrong thing.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Very colorful personality.
Colorful is a good way for it. Anything else, David?
The man charged with the murder of Tupac Shakur is being arraigned today in Las Vegas. He was arrested last month for that killing back in 96.
If there had ever been an Olympic chair throwing contest, Bobby Knight would have qualified. Probably won.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.